So overall, this device costs $400 roughly. It's a minimum viable product. It's not a commercial product yet, and we're ready to work with any kind of avionics manufacturer who's interested in this technology.
Very good, Mike.
Thank you very much for listening.
You ready for some questions?
Yeah, why not?
So my first question is, in your the one where it's roll right, how do you know that that's environmental versus a pilot doing that? Are you tied into the airplane, or is there some other logic in there?
The initial updraft increases the angle of attack on that side. Let's imagine the probe is on that side, okay? It works the opposite way, even with just one probe on one wing. You don't need two probes. But as the angle of attack is increased by an updraft, rolling that wing to the left, there's also an acceleration in the wing. And the wing also accelerates and flexes. So the reason why you could do this with one sensor if the airplane was rigid, but no airplane is rigid. And so it's that initial acceleration of the wing coming up, coupled with the angle of attack increasing, that lets, and actually the airspeed indicator also on that device increases. So those indications tell me first in the software, it's all Python code, that that was an upset roll. And then it's corroborated by the tail unit, which has the angular rate sensor in it. And that follows the already twisted airplane. It follows the twisted airplane. So I know it's going that way, and not the environment.
Very good. Who else has a question? Dave?
Is this on? Hello? Oh, good, yeah. On the tail flutter prediction, you say it measures the vibration, but if it starts shaking, it's usually catastrophic. So is it a predictive,
yes, sir,
or is it telling you that your tail's falling off?
That was a demonstration. I am not getting flutter at that point in that demonstration. I've got a buildup in oscillation, and then it would damp if I had left it alone. That demonstration is showing you that if you set the threshold right and you get to flutter, it will spot that growth. So it's not something I can test, honestly, okay, for pure flutter.
And then on the other thing, if there's a mountain right next to you, and I can see why it would tell you to roll out, but if you're in a glider and you're thermaling, is it going to think every time you enter a thermal, is it going to tell you to roll out?
No, sir, no.
How does it know if the mountain's there?
All those sensors are looking at changes in the flight, not absolute values of bank or whatever, or AOA. They're looking at sudden changes caused by the environment in those effects. So if I do a controlled entry into any kind of turn, it doesn't actually trigger. In fact, it's the change from one measurement to the next, it's about 5 hertz, that generates that signal. And it only lasts, that warning only lasts for about a fifth of a second or so, the way my software works.
So you get that warning every time you enter a thermal?
No, sir, no, I don't. So I hardly ever get that warning. Only if I get this sudden, it's the combination of that wing bend and the follow-up in the roll in the tail that gives me that indication. When I enter a thermal, as soon as you do a stick operation, the angle of attack actually, the sensor detects something opposite to what an upset would be. So it is not sensitive to any kind of aggressive roll or yaw maneuvers.
Yeah, we talked mostly about your experimentation with a sailplane, and I'm fairly familiar with that also. But I think we're looking here for broad application in sport aircraft, experimental aircraft. And I guess I would like to know just, you know, how this is really going to respond to a more typical situation, a traffic pattern situation, where loss of control often occurs.
It will spot that incipient spin or stall, the same as any of the really good ideas I'm seeing around in this competition. And it's so it covers all of those standard, what I would call pilot-induced loss of control events. And so can I add, for a powered aircraft, your aircraft, I would build into the wing a port, three ports to sense those pressures, for example, and I'd build in the accelerometer into the tail. So it wouldn't be a solar-powered device. I did that really just because I had a sailplane that I needed to put it on.
So if I understand you correctly, you're then calibrating this system to each aircraft that it's going to be installed on, and what is that going to take, or is it a generic profile?
The way I choose the limits for detecting these 7 different LOCs it's a table, a limit table of about 20 parameters. And they can be changed through a web page going to that little cockpit monitor I showed. So that's how you change the limits. I would, if I was selling it to you, I would ask your aircraft type, weight, and basic speeds, speed ranges, and then I would give you a specific set of numbers. And then I would show in the manual how the web page would update those numbers as you flew them. And you'd set them conservatively and then expand the envelope to where you were comfortable, is my thoughts process
on that.
And
then one other question, and that is, I buy the system from you. Who installs it?
That's my challenge, and it's the one I feel I need to work on, which is it's a minimum viable product, but I need, I personally believe it, I should team up with a well-known avionics provider to do this. I do need a team to help me do this.
And so the question I have is a little bit like Vans in that I'm a little bit worried about the limited scope of it where it's been tested
right.
in the glider, and we talk a lot about wing flex, which is obviously very prevalent in the glider, but not so much in a general aviation airplane. And I wonder how much the system relies upon wing flex versus aerodynamic forces.
It does not actually rely on the wing flex. The wing flex just lets me, in that glider, I have that wing lifts up first and then the tail follows. If it was a rigid body, I could do it like a stiff airplane. I could do it just the same. I wouldn't have to handle that delay in those two signals.
When you say you're in sync and it says leave, I think some people out there that get into that situation feel that they're sinking and pull back on the stick. So is that what you would do there, or what are your instructions with that sync leave?
I tried to say in the presentation that sync is not my LOC case. There is a much more aggressive downdraft that I consider to be an LOC case. And that's where actually the nose comes up, the tail goes down around the CG, and then it starts to fall. And then the AOA goes up. But it's a sequence of events that puts you into the ground. And I think that's how one of those accidents that I mentioned in Colorado happened. So that was a demonstration, again, of the capability. But I wasn't looking for downdrafts that were that strong.
But I'm sort of looking for what guidance would you give the pilot that got that signal?
I have told myself, and the prompt I use is push power now. That's what I've decided to do to get out of that situation. If I was by the mountain, I would also roll out from the mountain. So those are the things I have told myself I would do. But I think there are situations in other aircraft that you would respond differently. But
yeah. I was just going to say, that begs the question then, is there standard phraseology, standard terms that a pilot's going to have to learn and understand?
I would ask you to tell me what those are, and I'll put them in the system. I would look to the aviation community to decide on those terms. I only learned the word upset for this. I call it a tipping event, but this upset is a standard term, I guess, in accident investigations. So I think that's way too little for the type of thing we're talking about.
So I'll put my academic hat on and say, have you published anything on this?
Today is the first time I have mentioned to the public how this system works.
Do you think that this warrants like academic papers that could be reviewed?
Certainly it requires review.
In a peer-reviewed forum?
And it does, yes. And I filed my provisional patent last week.
All right, very good. Anybody else have any questions? All right, very good.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Here we go, and let's go back and back. Okay, well, good evening, everyone. My name is Ihab Awad, and my project, Airball, is a solution for measuring and properly visualizing the relative wind. So what is the relative wind? It is the wind as seen by your airplane blowing at it. This is something that Stick and Rudder, the classic, has told us is extremely important. In fact, in the book, the author uses a lot of pennants, arrows, and other ways of representing to you what this relative wind is doing, especially that it's not where your aircraft is pointed at any given time. And you really get this idea that this is your one job as a pilot. I will say that loss of control of the aircraft is preceded by loss of control of the relative wind. It's your job as a pilot to control the relative wind. My project seeks to do two things. First of all, we have created an intuitive visualization that I will talk a lot about of the relative wind that is new. And second of all, we are measuring the relative wind comprehensively, and we're doing all of this cheaply and in a way that fits on any airplane, including non-experimental airplanes, because we know that instruction happens on Cessna 150s and 172s. It just does. I'm sorry. Right? So let's talk about the solution a little bit in the abstract before we talk about the hardware that we and, you know, friends of mine and I have worked on. So we represent the relative wind as a vector, so a quantity and a direction. It's just like an arrow in front of your airplane. So if you imagine it that way, and imagine on the right-hand side of your screen the instrument that we are planning to design, here it is when the relative wind is strong and coming from straight ahead, like in cruise. Now you're in slow flight. The relative wind is weak and coming from below. The ball on the instrument gets smaller and moves down. Here's the wind coming from straight ahead, and here it is yawed to the right. Your airplane is yawed left, and in order to control the yaw, we step on the ball like we usually do. So basically, we've now represented indicated airspeed, yaw, and angle of attack in one simple, easy-to-use visualization. This visualization can orient you to your relative wind, this unseen quantity, in much the same way that a moving map orients you geographically, or an artificial horizon orients you to the horizon when you can't see it. So here's what this actually looks like. This is takeoff, and you can see the wind picking up, and then lower angle of attack, and at higher angle of attack as I pull up into my climb. And the first time I saw this, I was like, who knew that my relative wind was actually doing this? And then second of all, why is this a secret, and why am I the pilot, the last person to know this, right?